Good morning, everyone. This morning, we are going to talk about the Father's love. We're going to open our Bibles to Luke. Turn with me to chapter 22 in the story of the Last Supper of Jesus and his disciples. I'll give you a couple seconds to turn there so that we're all there together. I love it when people follow along as I teach a story. They can take notes based on what they're reading, and they can ask questions. And they hold me accountable to make sure the words that I'm speaking are true to the words that you're reading. Luke chapter 22. The full extent of his love. The full extent of his love. This morning, as we take a few minutes to dip our toes into this incredible story, I admit to you, we will go through some of it quicker than the rest. And my hope is that you draw out a beautiful lesson out of this story, a beautiful, passionate God who is just fascinated with you, that would give up anything for you. And I hope that I can be a dad like that to my boys. I want to ask you a question as we begin this morning. How does a father show love to his children? How does a father show love to his children? For those of you in the room who are fathers, how do you show love to your children? And for those of you in the room who have a father or had a father, how did your father express and show his incredible love to you? Allow those memories to come to mind right now. The love of a dad. And this week, Todd said goodbye to his dad. And his dad is visiting, maybe worshiping, gazing upon his Father in heaven. How does a father show love to his children? As you can see, that's Cooper and that's Jesse. And if you can tell the two of them apart, I'll help you if you can't. Jesse has the very pretty face and Cooper rides a fire truck. That's probably the best way. If you ever see one of them on a fire truck, that's Cooper. And Jesse's the one with the great big smile. But how does a father show love to his children? Each of us do it so differently. Maybe it's through time that you spend. Maybe it's through gifts that you buy. Maybe it's through lessons and moments where you teach. How did your father express his love to you? Was he quiet? Was he loud? Did he hug you all the time? Did he shake your hand? Did he nod his head? Did your father kiss you on the forehead, tuck you into bed? Did your father step in with some money that one time when you ran out? How did your father show love to you? Did he spend time teaching you about prayer? Did he set a good example by reading the Bible? How are you modeling being a good father to your children? How do you show love to your children? Do you allow them to drool all over your sleeve as you sing right before you go up to preach? How do you show love to your children? These faces, those boys, were flashing through my mind this week as I read this story. Because I went to Pastor Nick this week and I said, how do you preach the Last Supper in 15 minutes? It's a huge story, 40-some verses. It's incredible. John tells it a little bit differently. Luke tells it a little bit differently. One of them was in the room. One of them heard about it later. How do you teach this? And he just said, look at the Father's love. Look at the Father's incredible, unstoppable, undeniable, unshakable love. So I want to take you through this story. And as we step into this moment, as we sit at the table, as Jesus says goodbye to his disciples, as we sit at the table with them, keep your eyes open and you just might see the full extent of the Father's incredible love. So let's sit at the table with them. This is Luke chapter 22. You'll notice in the first six verses, I won't read those right now. Those were a part of Nick's sermon last week about Judas and his decision to betray the Messiah. We're going to start at verse 7, and it says this. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, go make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare it? They asked. He replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters. Say to the owner of the house. The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, a room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. They prepared the Passover. This moment, the moment they sat down to share the meal, please do not miss the significance of what they were about to do. Because do you know what the Passover stood for? The full extent of God's love for Israel. That was the Passover. It is so beautifully fitting that it was this feast that Jesus and his disciples, along with hundreds of thousands of people, made the trip home to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. What is the Passover? Well, the Passover is a story from the book of Exodus where the Lord was about to save his people out of slavery and bondage. And how did the Lord set his people free? The sacrifice of a perfect lamb. And on that night, the perfect lamb was sacrificed. And by its blood, which in Leviticus teaches us that the blood of an animal is its life. So by the life of the animal spread across the doorposts of their houses, the angel of death had to pass over them. The blood of the lamb saved each one of them, the firstborn, on the night of the Passover. And Jesus sits down not only during that time, but at that very meal. So imagine this. You are sitting at the table. You are sitting on the floor, sitting up. Maybe you're on a cushion and you're next to the table. On the table is the lamb. The lamb that has been sacrificed. The perfect lamb. And it smells really good. And that perfect lamb is sitting there in front of you. And there's cups of wine. And as they celebrate the Passover, there was multiple times where they would drink before and drink after. They had rituals and they had tradition. It was a beautiful ceremony. And as they sat to enjoy this meal, they were staring at the lamb who had been sacrificed. And sitting beside them is the lamb who was about to be sacrificed for their sin. But instead of setting them free from slavery, the Lord was about to sacrifice his only son to set them free from sin and death. Something far greater than freeing them from slavery. The full extent of the Father's love for Israel. Let's keep reading. Verse 14, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Pause right there. If you go forward into the story, he then predicts that the betrayer is right there at their table. He explains to the disciples that one of them there is the betrayer. But don't miss what just happened. Do you recognize those verses? Maybe from about 10 minutes ago. The Lord instituted and created communion. Because the full extent of God's love was shown through the new covenant. The new covenant. The full extent of his love for us was through the new covenant. And that's the next point that I want you to see so clearly. Not only were they celebrating this on Passover, which was a celebration of God's incredible love for Israel, they sit down to have this lamb, and Jesus takes the bread, he takes the wine, and what does he say? This is now me. This is now me. And this has been given up for you. For you. A brand new promise. In that moment, a brand new promise was being exclaimed. And it would be delivered at the death of Jesus. Jesus was about to die to forgive people of their sin. And express the full extent of his love for us. So every time that we gather around that table, and every time that you hold the little piece of bread, and every time you hold the little cup, we're remembering the moment they sat at the table around that lamb that one evening, and Jesus said, guys, pay attention. Pay attention, guys. That since the days of the Exodus, we thought this was all about them. But from now on, this will celebrate me, for I am the Lamb. This is a new covenant in my blood, which is his life. His life would be shed for us so that it would cover us. And when death comes for us, it will be forced to pass over. One thing that bugs me about Luke's account of this story is that he wasn't in the room. John was in the room. And John wrote down something that Luke didn't write. Turn in your Bible to John 13. And John shares with us something so beautiful, we have to include this in today's story. And so it's not that Luke made a mistake, it's that Luke is working with the facts that he's received, and he's telling his gospel in a way that highlights that Christ is the Messiah, he's the servant. John highlights the incredible love of God through his story. Look at John 13 verse 1, it says this, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he had loved them to the end. And in my older translation of the NIV, you'll notice the phrase, he showed them the full extent of his love. Jesus chose to show them the full extent of his love. Look down at verse 4, if you're in John 13. It says, so he got up from the meal, this is Jesus, he took off his outer clothing, he wrapped a towel around his waist, After that, he poured water into a basin. He began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jump down to verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, returned to his place, and said, "Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher, you call me Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord, your teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example that you should do as I've done. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Why is this story so beautiful? That before they sit to eat this meal, Jesus is washing feet. And as they gather around the lamb on the table, Jesus becomes the servant. Jesus becomes the servant. He decided to show them the full extent of his love, so he humbled himself to the lowest position he could. He took the job of the slave. And he served them. And he set for them an incredible example. That to show the incredible love of God, it was going to take submission. It was going to take humility. You were going to have to let go of your pride. Your self-centeredness. The full extent of his love for his disciples was shown through a bucket of water and a towel around his waist. The full extent of his love. As you imagine your dad, how did he show the full extent of his love? Did he serve you? Was he a servant to you? Did he humble himself and take the towel around his waist and take the job of the servant? The full extent of his love. Now, as this is going on, we go back to Luke. So turn back to Luke 22. And in this, when Jesus predicts the betrayer and says that the hand of him who's going to betray me is with mine on the table, it says they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. So this is Luke 22, and now we're at verse 24. So the disciples began to have this argument, and they were saying to one another, "It's not going to be me. I'm not the betrayer." And another gentleman would say, "Well, surely it's not going to be me. Maybe it's him." He would, "No, it's not going to be me. Why would I do that? I love him. I love him far more than you." "Well, no, you don't. If anyone at this table loves him, it's obviously me. But Jesus, who's the greatest? Like, who among the table here, Lord? Who would be the one, like, you would say, he is the man, he's the greatest? It's not me, right? Is it Peter? Like, is it John? Is it Judas? Lord, who is it? Who's the greatest? I would never turn on you." And they have this argument. And that's when Jesus turns back to this story of the foot washing and says, "What example have I set for you?" Let's start reading at verse 24. "A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest." Verse 25, "Jesus said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them, they call themselves benefactors. But you're not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who's at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who've stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The greatest among you should be like the youngest. Why is he calling us to humble ourselves to become the level of a servant? I believe so clearly that the full extent of God's love is shown to the world through us. The greatest disciple is a servant. This world is so dark and without hope. And they have heard that we have something that they don't. So people watch us and stare at us and listen to us. And often they hear one of two things. They hear someone that's just like everybody else, who's no different, whose life is no different, who acts and speaks and judges like everybody else. Or they see someone who's a servant, someone that humbles themselves, someone that knows that their life doesn't revolve around them, someone that knows that their father gave up everything for them to show his incredible love. The world watches the servants of Jesus, and Jesus says, you should be like the youngest. You should be the servant. You should be the servant. So grandparents in this room, maybe sit with your grandchildren at potluck. Maybe they're setting an incredible example as to what it means to be a Christian. Maybe they are serving and you've stopped serving. The full extent of God's love shown through our lives. I want to close with traveling back to the question we began with when we first started. How does a father show love to his children? How does a father show love to his boys? I hope that as you read through this story and as we march our way closer to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you will understand that this story shouts so loudly that if I were to try to replicate that emotion, I would have to yell to the point that the mic would start on fire and the speakers would fall from the ceiling. That is how loud God is saying, I love you. I gave up my boy for you. And Jesus is sitting at the table going, guys, this is me. This is me. This is the Father's love for you. Be a servant. Wash the feet. Show this world my Father's love as I am about to show you my Father's love on the cross. I hope that as you travel down to potluck and head home this week, that you marvel that a God who is above space and time stopped to give his boy for you. Because I don't think I could give up my boys for you. And I don't think I'll ever in my life be able to show them that kind of love. I'm going to fail them over and over and over again. But my Father does not fail me. He has shown me incredible, incredible love. Incredible love. Never forget how much you are loved by your Father in heaven. And I urge you and I plead with you, show that love to others. Because this world is listening and they're watching us. And they're watching the way we treat our kids and the way we love our families and treat others. Please stop competing with each other. Please stop judging one another. Please stop comparing yourselves. Please stop looking across the room during church to see who's here and then making a comment about it later, or taking a look at who's putting checks in the offering and who's not. And please stop treating each other like you're not in the room and talking behind each other's backs. Please take the towel around your waist and take the bowl of water and become a servant to each other and encourage one another and have each other's backs. We are the body of Christ. We are his bride. And the world is watching to see how we love, because they've heard that the Father is an incredible love. They're watching us to see how we love. Do we love like him? I'm going to call Pastor Nick. He's going to come up. And he's going to pray for us as we end the service. May you never, ever forget the incredible love of our Father who's in heaven. There's probably a picture of you right now in his fridge. And every time he walks by it, he looks at it and goes, I made that. And I know that thing's name. And I love it so much.
Would you stand with me as we pray? There are some of you this morning here who maybe you're here in brokenness because you didn't have a father who showed you his love very well. We have all been imperfectly parented. And I trust that the love of God would just shore up your heart right now, and that you would extend grace and forgiveness to your parents for their faults and failures. And I pray that you would allow God's love to fill you so that you will do better. Lord, I just want to thank you so much for speaking to us so clearly this morning about your love for us. And I want to thank you that that is a love that covers a multitude of sins, that shores up our hearts and strengthens our souls. And it is a love that has a mission. We have been and we are deeply loved. And so now we go and we love deeply. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can I pray for the meal as we go to potluck? Can I do that? Please stay. Let's go to potluck together. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this meal that we're about to share. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us everything that we have. Lord, remind us constantly of how blessed we are, that every day there's food for us that you've given to us. Lord, thank you for the people that spent time preparing it and serving it to us, Lord. Bless them for their service. Thank you, Lord, for this church family, and be with us around the tables. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go enjoy potluck, please.